This podcast is titled COVID-19, Creating the Need for a World Government. Written by Brad Frager and Barbara Foley. Presented by Brad Frager. Hello. The COVID-19 pandemic is being used to create the need for a world government. Ultimately, a Chinese communist world government. COVID-19 is a highly contagious, but relatively harmless strain of coronavirus. The vast majority of people will experience relatively minor respiratory symptoms and recover quite easily. Many will experience no symptoms at all. However, the disease can be fatal to older people and those with other serious health problems, comorbidities. China continues to state that COVID-19 started in a meat market in Wuhan and that it has a natural origin. However, it appears increasingly likely that the virus was manufactured at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, in the Institute's lab for bat coronavirus research. The Chinese communist leaders knew that the virus was highly contagious from very early on, and shut down travel between Wuhan and the rest of China. However, they encouraged Wuhan residents to travel to other parts of the globe, especially to European countries and the United States. The virus seems to have been specifically designed to create fear in the world's population and to be disastrous to other nations' economies. China returned to normal relatively quickly, and they are being touted as having handled the virus much better than we have here in the United States. However, have they handled it better, or do they have a better understanding of the virus's impact? They were determined not to let their economy die in lockdowns. They opened up the economy and let COVID-19 run its course. They are well aware that the vast majority of people will suffer only minor respiratory problems, or none at all. In addition, the elderly and others with serious comorbidities are a burden on China's economy. Their deaths, as seen by communist leaders, are considered a benefit. The entire purpose of unleashing the virus on the world was to catapult their economy into being the world's largest. They were afraid that Trump's economic success would make that goal even harder to achieve. They had to harm America's socioeconomic health and destroy Trump's economy. Some powerful, unpatriotic people in America are more than willing to help China achieve these goals. How has the United States handled the pandemic? The answer to this question is more political than scientific. In March, Dr. Kathleen Neusel, director of the Center for Vaccine Development at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, when asked whether the U.S. could see millions of deaths, said, "It would not surprise me. We need to prepare for the worst." Initially, the major concern was hospital capacity, and in March it was suggested that a lockdown be put in place for a few weeks to slow down the advance of the virus. This information scared a great many people, who believed that this monster of a virus had them in the crosshairs. The progressives, who wanted a crisis to convince people of the need for a controlling socialist government, grabbed hold of the issue with both hands, as did the Democrats, who wanted an economic crisis to destroy Trump's chance of re-election. The Center for Global Development published the following article, "Never Let a Crisis Go to Waste," saying, "The coronavirus is spreading, and for the first time in history, virtually all people on Earth are faced with the same imminent common threat. It is in every country's interest to think and act globally." In spite of all the media and globalist pronouncements, COVID-19 is not a pandemic, at least not in the public's perception of the word. Lee Atwater, a famous political consultant, some might say infamous, stated clearly a universal truth. Perception is reality. This understanding has been used to control people for as long as humanity has existed. We've had numerous examples in the past few years. For example, how many of your friends still believe that Trump colluded with the Russians? This perception, although proven to have been a lie, is reality to your mainstream media-addicted friends. The perception, and therefore the reality of a pandemic, to the vast majority of people, is a disease that kills millions and affects everyone on a personal level. However, my wife and I, both from very large families, still don't know anyone personally who has died from the virus, and very few who have even been sick with it. Here is a graphic that clearly shows where COVID-19 falls in the list of global pandemics. As you can see, pretty near the bottom, closely followed by three serious episodes of the flu. An analysis, which was published in Clinical Infectious Diseases, offers a complete picture of the impact of COVID-19. The researchers estimated total COVID-19 cases, identified and unidentified, at approximately 52.9 million. This results in an actual death rate of 0.07%, significantly less than the flu. So why are there so many more deaths? The number of deaths is because COVID-19 is extremely contagious and a major problem for the elderly and those with other serious comorbidities. Regardless, for healthy people under 60, COVID-19 is no more dangerous than the common flu. Adults 65 and older account for 16% of the U.S. population, but 80% of COVID-19 deaths. Economically, COVID has been a disaster, way beyond any impact of the virus itself. Almost 164,000 businesses have closed, the vast majority being small, independently owned. The life work of an individual or family, including many Black, Hispanic, and Asian businesses. Many of these small businesses will never open again, and some communities, especially urban communities, will lose their access to groceries, medicine, etc. Then there's the 32 million out of work, struggling to survive. The increase in child endangerment, the dramatic increase in the use of drugs, alcohol, and occurrence of suicide. All in all, we need to go about living our lives confidently. We need to stop the fear-mongering and quit worrying about the monsters under the bed. Life is to be lived. What are others saying? Well, first of all, there's the Great Barrington Declaration, written by three medical researchers from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Currently, 49,133 medical and public health scientists and medical practitioners have signed the declaration. In part, the declaration states, current lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health. The declaration is posted at A Conservative View. In addition, this is what some experts are saying. Dr. Scott Atlas, Stanford. Leaders must examine accumulative data to see what has actually happened, rather than keep emphasizing hypothetical projections. Combine that empirical evidence with the fundamental principles of biology established for decades, and then thoughtfully restore the country to function. Surjit Bahala, Executive Director for India at the International Monetary Fund. Lockdowns were an unnatural experiment, and around the world they have not worked in achieving their major health objective of less infections or slower pace of infections. The World Health Organization Writing Group concluded that forced isolation and quarantine are ineffective and impractical. Elaine He at Bloomberg said, "There's little correlation between the severity of the nation's restrictions and whether it managed to curb excess fatalities." In a study published at The Lancet, the authors concluded rapid border closures, full lockdowns, and widespread testing were not associated with COVID-19 mortality. A new study published by Frontiers in Public Health concluded that neither lockdowns nor lockdown stringency were correlated with lower death rates. Dr. Michael Ryan, director of the World Health Organization's, WHO's, Health Emergencies Program, said, "What we want to try to avoid is the massive lockdowns. They are so punishing to communities, to society, and to everything else." Dr. David Nabarro, WHO's special envoy on COVID-19, added, "Lockdowns just have one consequence, that you must never, ever belittle. And that is making poor people an awful lot poorer. And so, we really do appeal to all world's leaders. Stop using lockdowns as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. The reality is that lockdowns come with incredible collateral damage that appear to do little, if anything, to actually slow down the coronavirus. There is ample proof that China is taking the correct path by refusing to lock down its economy. However, we must make sure that those who are most vulnerable are protected. The fact that we and much of the world are continuing the lockdowns regardless of the massive proof that they cause significantly more suffering than COVID-19 leads me to only one conclusion. These lockdowns and the associated fear are designed to convince people that the only solution to their suffering is a world government. The subjection of most of the world's population to a highly controlling, potentially communist world government is a nefarious goal indeed. Thank you. This podcast has been a Groundbreaking Productions production. Copyright 2021 Brad Frager. Written by Brad Frager and Barbara Foley. Produced by Brad Frager. And presented by Brad Frager.